This free program is paid for by the listeners of Redwood Community Radio. If you're not already a member, think of joining us to help keep free speech alive.
These series of tweets. People are not taking responsibility for what the sheriff says they gave them permission to do on private and county and state lands. Garberville Chamber of Commerce claims they are not involved, yet Officer Mike Downey says they were in on the planning. A packet of information is given to homeless persons that have information from social services and mental health, yet these two programs do not have any involvement in the sweeps, they say. An application for a bus ticket to send them out of the county is included. Each homeless person is told not to camp in the area. If they do, they will be arrested. Each person is also photographed on the spot as a mugshot. Dogs are impounded, and one camp was burned with all the belongings a couple owned in a tarp-style camp, now a smoldering mess. This is wrong, just plain wrong.
To record your opinion,
call 923-2513, extension 170.
Please limit yourself to 2 minutes, or you can write to All Sides Now, care of KMUD, Box 135, Redway 95560.
Okay, and it is 6:01, and you are listening to Redwood Community Radio, KMUD Garberville 91.1 FM, KMUE Eureka Arcade at 88.3 FM, KLAI Laytonville 90.3 FM, and FM translator K258BQ in Shelter Cove at 99.5.
Hello and welcome to the local news. In today's news, an update on the diesel cleanup efforts in Hacker Creek. A federal judge ruled against the Small Business Administration for withholding contracting data. And Cody Dobbs is headed to prison for 10 years due to marijuana-related charges. All that and more coming right up. You may have seen smoke or noticed a helicopter south of Stafford this afternoon. The 10x10 spot fire south of Stafford ignited around 4 p.m. CAL FIRE responded and contained the fire around 5 p.m. 354 Pacific Gas and Electric customers are currently without power in Myers Flat and the surrounding area. The power outage has been traced to a downed wire on Highway 101. The severe winds have created a safety concern for pole workers, so extra caution is required. Work crews are on scene, and PG&E hopes that power will be restored to Myers Flat by 6:30 p.m. A diesel spill was discovered on Friday, May 16th, in Hacker Creek, which is a tributary of Salmon Creek north of Redway. An anonymous tip led authorities to the spill near the headwaters of Hacker Creek. The origin of the release is an above-ground fuel storage tank. According to Humboldt County Department of Environmental Health, the tank was overfilled, causing a diesel release to the ground. Laboratory analytical results from preliminary sampling on Friday support the division's basis for urging residents who draw water from Hacker Creek to pull intake lines. On Monday, division staff observed the diesel about 100 yards further downstream from its location on Friday. Additional booms have been set out and put in the creek to prevent further migration of the diesel. North Coast Environmental Construction, a local cleanup contractor, started work on the creek on May 16th. According to Jim Crook of the NEC, the North Coast Environmental Construction Company, the soil and fractured bedrock of the embankment where the spill occurred continue to release diesel fuel into Hacker Creek. KMUD News spoke to Larry Lancaster, a hazardous materials inspector for Humboldt County Division of Environmental Health, about the cleanup, and we got an update. We began our conversation by clearing up a rumor that the diesel spill into Hacker Creek was biodiesel. I watched the local news last night, and the anchor said that biodiesel went into Hacker Creek, and it was a bit of a mix-up. Could you explain to our listeners, is that true in any way?
To the best of my knowledge, and that knowledge includes talking to a lot of different people who've been there more recently than myself, but also my own personal knowledge of having been there on Friday, it was very definitely dyed diesel and not biodiesel. And that was evident both from the color and from the off-gassing, the smells that were coming from it. You know, biodiesel has a very distinct odor, as does diesel, and one is distinct from the other. This was definitely diesel.
We still have a health issue. Could you give us the current status of both Hacker Creek and Salmon Creek?
Yeah, at this point the spill seems to be wholly contained in Hacker Creek, that it has not migrated down to the Salmon Creek as far as we can tell. There's no sheening down below about 300 to 400 yards on Hacker Creek, which is several hundred yards or more above the confluence with Salmon Creek. And basically the creek is getting lower, as I'm sure all the creeks down that way are. It's just the warmer time of the year. The information I have in terms of how things look comes from the environmental contractor who's working down there, and he states that the bottom end of the spill looks better today than it did yesterday, which means less sheening, but that there's still spill material coming out at the top of the spill area, so you've still got red pools or at least red diesel product up at the top, and then more sheening off of those pools, leading to no sheening down at that 300 to 400 yard area.
Is there anything else you want to tell us about timeline for cleanup?
I don't believe there's any new information on timeline. I know that the state has provided an order for cleanup, which is pro forma from their part. They're just making it formal that the property owner is obligated to make the cleanup, and included in that is getting an engineering consultant, which is a little more technically expert than an environmental contractor. They're now involved, and I believe a geologist has had a chance to look at the spill conditions and will be able to help contribute to an ultimate cleanup plan.
That was Larry Lancaster, a hazardous materials inspector for Humboldt County Division of Environmental Health. Cleanup of the creek is expected to be ongoing. It is unlikely that Hacker Creek will be safe for water use for several weeks. Environmental Health will continue monitoring next week and will provide additional information when analytical results are available. The taste and odor threshold of diesel is 100 parts per billion. The toxicity threshold is 56 parts per billion. According to the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, on May 21st, the Sheriff's Office Drug Enforcement Unit served a search warrant in the Steelhead Road area of Alder Point. Located at the scene was a large-scale, sophisticated commercial indoor marijuana growing operation. The marijuana growing operation was located on a large rural piece of property. There were four structures on the property, each being used to grow marijuana. According to the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, quote, there was no living area on the property, end quote. Facilities were in support of all stages of marijuana production, including a cloning operation, marijuana growing rooms, marijuana drying rooms, areas to process and package marijuana, and areas to manufacture concentrated cannabis. The Drug Enforcement Unit located and seized 5,492 growing marijuana plants from the property. The plants ranged in height from about 2 inches to 4 feet. The sheriff's office stated, quote, there were plants at the property in all stages of growth, end quote. The Drug Enforcement Unit also seized approximately 97 pounds of partially processed marijuana, approximately 2 pounds of concentrated cannabis, two large diesel generators in place to power the marijuana growing operation, and marijuana processing and packaging material. According to the Sheriff's Office, the Humboldt County Department of Environmental Health was called to the scene as there was evidence of diesel spills and there was a large quantity of used motor oil stored on the property. The Department of Environmental Health is continuing their investigation. The Sheriff's Office stated, quote, this was a significant marijuana growing operation as it could produce up to 1,500 pounds of processed marijuana bud per year with an approximate street value of $5 million. End quote. No suspects were located on scene and no arrests have been made to date. However, the Sheriff's Office said that suspects have been identified and the investigation is continuing. Additionally, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office has been informed that Fortuna resident Cody Kyle Dobbs was sentenced last week in federal court to more than 10 years in prison for marijuana-related charges. Additionally, Mr. Dobbs was sentenced to pay almost $70,000 in fines for restitution and cleanup costs associated with a diesel spill connected to his marijuana-growing operation in Piercy. A federal jury convicted Dobbs of cultivating and processing with intent to distribute marijuana and conspiracy to cultivate and possess with intent to distribute marijuana on December 6th of 2007. The conviction was the result of, quote, extensive coordination between local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies that worked to gather evidence regarding Mr. Dobbs' marijuana activities and financial dealings over a number of years, end quote. Sheriff Gary Philp made a statement. He said, quote, we are pleased that this sentence was imposed. We believe it is an appropriate action given the magnitude of this criminal enterprise, end quote. Sergeant Wayne Hansen is in charge of the marijuana unit for the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. He has been a part of the Dobbs investigation for years and conveyed some of the investigation history. Sergeant Hansen, tell us what happened with the Cody Dobbs case recently.
Cody Dobbs, we can backtrack to November of 2007. There was a jury trial in San Francisco in federal court. Mr. Dobbs was charged, I believe, a total of four separate locations for commercial marijuana grows. After the jury trial, the jury found him guilty. And in November 2007, he was remanded into custody by the federal judge. And then Friday last week, he was officially sentenced to 127 months in federal custody, which he'll serve 80% of that for his marijuana grows. He had, I believe, three in the county of Humboldt and one in the county of Mendocino. He was arrested in May of 2005 at a 2,300 plant marijuana grow in Bear Pin Road in Piercy. Fish and Game found him there when they were investigating a diesel spill, and he was taken in custody there, and that's what triggered a lot of the investigation on Mr. Dobbs.
And then could you give us any more information on what this means for your future collaboration with the DEA? Will this help you collaborate more, or is this just one more case?
Well, this is I use the word typical, but for many years, for at least 10 to 15 years or longer, we work closely with DEA, and every year certain people that are large commercial marijuana growers like Mr. Dobbs are set aside to go after them federally. Every year there's people that are convicted and sentenced in federal court in San Francisco from the county of Humboldt for growing commercial marijuana. This will continue with DEA's assistance. They have a group of eight DEA agents assigned to assist the marijuana cultivation cases in Northern California. So this is just one of many cases that DEA has worked in the past, and there's many in the future that they will be working.
That was Sergeant Wayne Hansen of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office talking about the federal court's decision to sentence Cody Dobbs to 10 years for his marijuana activities. On May 12th, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office conducted sweeps to, quote, warn individuals camping on private property that they were trespassing, end quote. On the second day of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office trespassing enforcement, officers arrested individuals who had been warned. KMUD News spoke to Brenda Godsey of the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. She said that on May 12th, Francis Woodman, age 26, was charged with trespassing, occupying property without consent, and was taken to the Humboldt County Jail. Also, Eric Chesser, age 35, was charged with trespassing and taken to the Humboldt County Jail. We will have more on this situation as it evolves. The Mendocino race for 4th District Supervisor is heating up. Candidates recently held a forum at the Whale Gulch School. Anna Hamilton brings us the story.
The supervisorial 4th District of Mendocino County goes from Russian Gulch, south of Fort Bragg, all the way north to Whale Gulch and east to Piercy. Wednesday, the 25th, the two candidates for 4th District Supervisor journeyed to Whale Gulch School for a 2.5-hour meet and greet with that community. Incumbent Kendall Smith, a 31-year resident of Mendocino County, described her background and qualifications, which included a major in public administration at San Jose State, former employment as a regional trainer for the Mendocino WIC program, a librarian, and the North Coast representative for Mike Thompson for 2 years during his term as senator, and 7 years with Congressman Thompson in charge of constituent services. Kendall was part of the team that made Mendocino the first county to unionize caregivers in the in-home support service program. Kendall Smith has served 4 years as 4th District Supervisor and is seeking re-election. The challenger, Paula Dieter, is a 28-year resident of Mendocino County. She is a Service Employees International Union steward. She has worked her way up in the Mendocino Planning Department and is currently a planning technician, a 4-H leader, and is on the Mendocino Wellness Board and is co-owner of a medical marijuana dispensary. Some of the topics discussed were water storage, salmon restoration, the North Coast Railroad Authority, and the need for Mendocino counties to work with other counties and plan regionally rather than by county line boundaries for services such as schools, fire protection, and roads and restoration. Kendall Smith stated that Mendocino's blueprint process for unifying the many small water providers in the county under a coherent system has been called the best in the state by Regional Quality Board. She stated Mendocino needs to reposition itself in regards to water, as it does not control or distribute any water. Sonoma County owns all the water of Lake Mendocino, and all water services in Mendocino County are provided by individual entities. Kendall mentioned being outvoted on several progressive issues, including studies on county carbon footprint reduction, the failure to pass a grading ordinance for the county, preventing diversion of the Eel River water, and county financial aid for local fire units. When questioned on Measure B, the Mendocino Citizens Initiative to reduce the allowable number of medical marijuana plants from 25 to 6, Paula Dieter is strongly opposed. Kendall Smith stated the initiative was put on the ballot at the overwhelming request of Ukiah Valley residents and asserted that the sheriff's committal to prioritizing methamphetamine violent crimes and commercial marijuana grows would not change regardless of how Measure B turns out. In her view, both sides have overstated their case. When asked to summarize her positions as a candidate, Paula Dieter stated she would downsize and overlap what she described as a top-heavy county government. Dieter asserted that Mendocino County administrators are some of the highest paid in the state, and she would cut spending from the top down. Actual figures from the county show that the Mendocino County administration pay averages from 5 to 20% below other comparable counties in the state. Kendall Smith stated there are some areas of county services that require a larger staff due to the physical size of the county itself and the remoteness of some of the communities. After the meeting, Supervisor Smith toured the improvements on the Usaw Road in Whale Gulch, which includes paving, which she helped the community achieve. This is Anna Hamilton from Whale Gulch reporting for KMUD News.
Thank you, Anna, for that report. The Mateo versus Dimmick trial continued today, May 22nd. The trial is working to address the lease dispute between the Mateo Community Center and Tom Dimmick. Paul Bassas was on the stand today and is expected to be on the stand again tomorrow. We will have a wrap-up report when he is off the stand. The Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District meets this evening, May 22nd. Patrick Higgins represents the 5th District on the Commission. He gave us a look at tonight's agenda.
Tonight, the Harbor District will be once again revisiting large-scale business development for the Bay because we've received an offer from Goldman Sachs and Company, and they wish to market the Redwood Marine Terminal development in combination with the North Coast Railroad. This is something where they would look internationally for capital to create a container terminal or other large-scale shipping facility, and also bring in capital to restore railroad service in the Eel River Canyon. And so that will be on the Harbor District's agenda tonight. That's a meeting at 7 o'clock at Woodley Island Marina across the freshwater slough, or that finger of the bay across from Eureka. In past studies, I've raised questions about the viability of marketing. The revitalization plan, prior document by PB Marine, a prestigious consulting firm, has indicated that there really is no economic viability to large-scale shipping from the Orient through Humboldt Bay because of excessive transshipping costs and insufficient market size to consume many of the goods. So I think there's still some fundamental weakness in terms of the prospect, even though we're being approached by Goldman Sachs for marketing, but they would like to hold, you know, the exclusive rights for marketing on as many ports on the West Coast as possible. It doesn't necessarily mean that we will benefit from their activities if, in fact, we don't fill a market niche that's viable. So I will be listening with interest to Goldman Sachs to see whether or not they can persuade me that they have, that this is a viable economic enterprise that they wish to market. Vote accordingly.
That was Patrick Higgins, the 5th District Commissioner for the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District, speaking about their meeting coming up tonight. The United States District Court Judge Marilyn H. Patel has ruled against the Small Business Administration in a lawsuit filed under the Freedom of Information Act by the American Small Business League. In the order, Judge Patel gave the Small Business Administration 2 weeks to provide the American Small Business League with a complete list of the names of all firms that received federal small business contracts for fiscal years 2005 and 2006. In documents filed with the court, the Small Business Administration tried to claim that they had no information in their possession that would indicate the actual recipients of federal small business contracts. This is the 4th federal lawsuit the American Small Business League has won against the Small Business Administration. KMUD News spoke to Kevin Barron, Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Small Business League. Mr. Barron explained the goal of the ASBL and the recent win in federal court.
We're a small business advocacy group based out of Petaluma, California. Our main issue is working on ensuring that federal small business contracts go to legitimate small businesses, essentially, you know, making sure that small businesses are fairly represented in the federal contracting arena. This was our 4th lawsuit against the Small Business Administration, and this lawsuit was over a Freedom of Information Act request that we had filed going back, oh gosh, almost a year. And it was to get the information for fiscal years 2005 and 2006 on what firms were received federal small business contracts that were counted towards the small business procurement goal by the federal government. And what happened was the Small Business Administration, the SBA, told us that they did not have that information, which is kind of strange considering the SBA is the federal agency that's charged with keeping those records and ensuring that small businesses are receiving their fair share of small business contracts. And because they would not turn over that information, we appealed their denial and ended up having to file suit against them in federal district court. And just 2 days ago, a federal judge did rule in our favor that the Small Business Administration did need to turn over that information, and that it's ridiculous that they claim that they do not have the information that we are requesting.
And why do you think this information is damaging to the Bush administration?
Well, this information is damaging because what we've seen pretty much every year is that somewhere between $60 to $100 billion in small business contracts are going to some of the largest firms in the world, in the United States and Europe especially. And what we see with this is that the Small Business Administration, which the current head of the Small Business Administration, Stephen Preston, who's a Bush appointee, claims that these small business contracts have been diverted to large firms by mistakes or miscoding. Now that claim, they keep making that claim. Now let's see, this is roughly the sixth or seventh year in a row that they keep making that claim, when the truth is that a lot of these small business contracts worth billions and billions of dollars are being diverted to these large firms because of contacts that they have within the federal government, essentially. And what we're, you know, that's what we're working to fix is this problem and ensure that legitimate small businesses are receiving their fair share.
What would you advocate the public do to make sure this money is funneled towards small businesses?
Several things, really. One, you can always go to our website at www.asbl.com. We have a lot of really great information and links that will tell you the information, take you places you need to go. Our biggest push is always, you know, contact your legislators, your members of Congress, both in the Senate and the House. Let them know how you feel about what's going on. Tell them, urge them to make a change. We work on a lot of legislative issues in Congress that we have information on our website about. And so you can urge members of Congress to either change or push for these different bills that are coming up to really help support small businesses.
And then lastly, tell us, what is this fifth federal lawsuit that you're proposing?
Well, this next one that we're looking at, we have requested the emails of Mike Stamler, who is the director of the Small Business Administration's press office, because we're asking to see his personal emails and have filed a Freedom of Information Act request for those. They have since sent us, basically have been stonewalling us on this one as well. And our president, Lloyd Chapman's getting ready to file suit on this one because we feel that the SBA, because of this issue, the SBA, and especially coming out of their press office, they've been wanting to make sure that the press doesn't really report on this issue. Because with roughly 27 million small businesses in this country, they don't want them finding out how a lot of billions in federal contracting dollars are being diverted from their businesses to large firms. So we feel that the SBA has had a concerted effort over the past few years to clamp down on the press. We have numerous examples where we have reached out to the press, conducted interviews for both newspapers, television, and it seems that as soon as we finish the interview, we never hear from the press again. The stories never run. And, you know, it seems that the SBA, and particularly Mike Stamler's office, have been very effective at stopping this issue from getting out.
That was Kevin Barron, Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Small Business League, explaining their recent win in federal court. On May 23rd, the Fortuna Police Department will be conducting a DUI checkpoint on the 200 block of Fortuna Boulevard. The checkpoint will begin at 9 p.m. and run until 2 a.m. Officers will be checking drivers for signs of impairment and checking to ensure that they have their driver's license with them. Alternate routes around the checkpoint would include Newburgh Road to Ronerville Road and Smith Lane to Ronerville Road. On May 21st, a Mendocino County jury in Ukiah convicted Russell Rexroad, age 41, a resident of Fort Bragg, of felony cultivation of marijuana. The conviction was found by the jury despite the claim of a medical marijuana defense. The jury also found Rexroad guilty of a misdemeanor offense of possession of a mountain lion. Both charges arose from an October 17, 2005 search of Mr. Rexroad's Fort Bragg property by the Department of Fish and Game, following a report that Mr. Rexroad had unlawfully taken possession of a mountain lion cub. The jury deliberated for 8 hours. Five witnesses testified for the prosecution. Fish and Game Lieutenant Lynette Scheimek testified that she led the search of the property for evidence relating to the mountain lion possession. During this search, processed marijuana and marijuana plants were found. Warden Rusty Bocacelli testified as to finding two bags of marijuana in a bedroom, Sheriff's Deputy Dustin Lorenzo testified he weighed the processed marijuana at 119 pounds and the wet plants at 142 pounds. Fish and Game Lieutenant Dennis McRiver testified he examined and photographed the marijuana. Sheriff's Lieutenant Rusty Noe testified that the amount of marijuana seized indicated some of it had to be grown elsewhere and indicated its wholesale value at $2,400 per pound. Defense witnesses.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of Redwood Community Radio. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of KMUD or renewing if you've already joined. A regular yearly membership is $50, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.